Last week, leaders of the Flandreau Santee Sioux tribe moved to legalize marijuana on the reservation. The executive board approved the ordinance after examining how other areas handle legalized marijuana. Plans are for an operation that grows marijuana for medicinal and recreational use. Executive Board President Tony Reeder says people who are 21 years of age or older with an ID can purchase marijuana. If a doctor has prescribed medical marijuana, anyone can use the drug. Reeder says the facility will welcome both Native Americans and people who are not tribal members. He says the Flandreau Santee Sioux tribe's marijuana facilities should have product for sale by the end of the year. To help explain what legalization of marijuana by the Flandreau Santee Sioux tribe means for the rest of the state, I'm joined by South Dakota Attorney General Marty Jackley. And Attorney General, welcome back to Dakota Midday.
Thank you for having me, Carl. I appreciate it.
Have you spoken with Flandreau Santee Sioux tribal officials about their marijuana legalization?
We have, and the state has been very active in not just talking to Flandreau, but other reservations. We want to make sure that we want to continue to work with tribal leaders to best ensure that federal, state, and tribal laws are followed so that we don't have situations where public safety may be put at issue or, that because of some of the jurisdictional complexities that somebody in South Dakota isn't charged criminally when they think they're not doing anything wrong.
Now, you mentioned the jurisdiction complexities. How much confusion is there regarding the federal government and marijuana jurisdiction in Indian Country?
In fairness, the federal government has created a tremendous amount of confusion and complexity when it comes to laws in Indian Country. And Congress has done a little bit of that in creating a jurisdictional maze involving three different jurisdictions. But some of it is really recently with federal authorities issuing what is called the Cole Memorandum. And that is really the memorandum that has given rise to tribes looking at marijuana production. When you look at the Cole Memorandum, I just returned from the National Attorney General's meeting, there's confusion as to whether that memorandum and that policy allowing for marijuana on reservations would apply in a state such as South Dakota, where we do not have legalized either recreational or medical marijuana. And so there's been a lot of confusion created by federal authorities. My position as Attorney General is we're responsible for enforcing state law, that we certainly will work with tribal authorities, and we have and we will continue to do that. This jurisdictional complexity, though, isn't something new to law enforcement. We deal with it every day. The way that the federal government has set up jurisdiction in Indian Country makes us find ways to work with tribal authorities and federal authorities to make sure that we're bringing safety onto the reservations, including with respect to impaired driving.
In straightening up some of the complexities over jurisdiction, is this something that eventually is going to have to wind its way through the courts?
Hopefully if we are able to do our job of putting the word out as to what the law is, or at least what it would appear the law is, that we can maybe avoid some of the potential court actions. Certainly, it's very clear from the United States Supreme Court level that this would not affect any non-Indians. In other words, non-Indians are subject to both federal and state law, and so that any medical use in Flandreau would not be permitted for non-Indians. The other thing that is very clear under U.S. Supreme Court case law and federal law is that while the tribe can and has authority over Indian persons, and that wouldn't just be members of the Flandreau tribe, that would be Rosebud, Pine Ridge, Yankton, other Native Americans of a federally recognized tribe, that they can affect what they are doing in Indian Country, but it would not include outside of Indian Country. And so we need to keep in mind making sure that non-Indians are not involved in the practice, and that if there are any Indian persons that are using marijuana, that remain on Indian lands.
So non-tribal South Dakotans can then legally use marijuana on the reservation lands, the Flandreau Santee Sioux tribal lands?
As long as they're a Native American of a federally recognized tribe. So that is what it's really limited to. Non-Indian persons can't use marijuana under either federal or state law anywhere on the reservations or off the reservations. However, Native American persons, as long as they are a member of a federally recognized Indian tribe, would be able to only on tribal lands.
Now, what sort of problems do you foresee that could possibly result for law enforcement, in particularly in the surrounding counties near Flandreau?
You know, certainly law enforcement is always involved in public safety on our highways to make sure, whether it's alcohol or marijuana or any other type of impaired driving, that we try to keep our highways and streets as safe as we can. So certainly with potential increase in marijuana use in this area, there may be increased impaired driving. So obviously we will have a focus and a responsibility to keep impaired driving, you know, at a minimum in these areas.
Now, there are bordering states, neighboring states, that are legalizing marijuana and medical marijuana. What have you learned about the other states' experiences regarding any possibility of this happening in South Dakota, whether it's complete legalization or just legalizing medicinal use of marijuana?
You know, certainly it's been a mixed bag. Just returning from the National Attorney General's Association, we had an update. We have now formed a subcommittee dealing with marijuana. One of the chairpersons, the Oregon Attorney General, spoke to us, generally speaking. There's some disagreement in the Attorney General community. Right now there's an ongoing lawsuit where Oklahoma and Nebraska have sued Colorado and have brought in the federal interests also. So we're waiting to see where that lawsuit goes. There's a lot of disagreement on the Cole Memorandum that I've talked about, whether that would even apply in South Dakota. And so there's some disagreement, but I think overall what the Attorney General community is seeing is when you have marijuana use, whether it be medical or recreational, there have been some legal challenges associated with the money side of things, the public health and safety side of things that attorney generals are working through.
Now you mentioned Attorney General, the National Association of Attorney Generals, Attorneys General meeting last week, and you were elected president of that group. What does that mean? I mean, what will you do as the president of this group?
You know, and Carl, I think the big thing this means is this is a strong reflection on South Dakota law enforcement, that our nation's attorney generals would turn to South Dakota and select us to lead the association. And really this gives us an opportunity to make a greater impact on public safety nationally and here in South Dakota. The initiative that I'm putting forth as president of the association is to protect and serve with 21st century policing. And what that really means is to look at officer-involved shootings, look at body cameras, the use of drones, other areas that law enforcement's involved in to try to get the best practices or the opportunities to better serve the public and to protect the public.
So what is your role as president of the National Association? Do you sort of set the agenda and the priorities for the group?
The president has the opportunity to have his or her initiative, and my initiative is on that 21st century policing. I will also have an opportunity to bring our nation's attorney generals here to South Dakota to focus on that initiative. Another thing that the president does is selects part of the executive committee of our nation's attorney generals. We'll be releasing that later this afternoon, so we'll be able to have an impact on who is serving as part of the policy and decision-making for the national AGs. So there's a lot of good opportunity, but again, I think it goes back to the importance of this is really a reflection on South Dakota law enforcement. This is our first opportunity. I think it's a great opportunity, and we're going to look forward to making those improvements on 21st century policing across the nation and here in South Dakota.
So how long do you serve as president?
It's a one-year term. And then when I complete that one-year term, I will still serve on the executive board as the past president, but it's a one-year term.
So this is a group of all the country's attorneys general?
It's all 50 attorney generals as well as the territorial attorney generals.
Okay. Well, Attorney General Jackley, thanks so much for taking the time to talk with us on Dakota Midday, and congratulations on your new position as president of the National Association of Attorneys General.
Thank you, Carl. Always enjoy it.